So today's message is titled, Don't Forget to Eat. Tim, I've got a couple pictures here at the beginning. Babies being fed. For some of you, this is a long time ago, and for others of you, not long ago. But think back to when you were a little kid, and mom or dad or uncle or aunt or grandma was feeding you, right? Were you a good eater? Were you a messy eater? Did you cooperate? What did you like to eat? Did you put it all over your face? Can you think about that when you were a little kid? Andre, Jakob, what do you think? Were you good eaters when you were little? Go to the next picture. I love this picture. Look at the little toddler. He's like, Mom, what are you feeding me? He's giving her the look, you know? I think that's a great picture. Go to the next one. Different cultures have different ways of feeding their infant. I was also thinking of showing you animals. I mean, animals in nature, how interesting that is, that they'll go get food and bring it to their young. Or there's some birds that like regurgitate food to give their babies food. So the whole idea of the young, right, learning to eat. And all of us hopefully can relate to that. When we were young, our families of origin fed us, modeled to us habits, disciplines of eating, what is good, what is bad, when to eat, how much to eat, et cetera, right? Lots of things communicated through food. Now, I hope this makes you laugh, really, really and truly I do. When I was growing up, my grandmothers both told me that I would get mad at them when they would feed me because I wouldn't feed them, they wouldn't feed me fast enough. I think that's hilarious. Both my grandmothers were like, I was afraid to feed you. I thought you were going to swallow the spoon. Oh, some things don't change. Eating, feeding. It's something that is not to be taken for granted. Eating. And we can think of it in the physical sense, right? I would often say, even to my husband, don't forget to eat. Because unlike me, who thinks about food all the time, my husband is the kind who's, you know, an intellect and up in his thoughts and can get on a study project, and then the day goes by and he comes home and I'm like, have you eaten? Oh, you know, I guess I haven't. And so I'll say things like this to people. Don't forget to eat. Did your mom ever say that to you? Maybe if you're someone who doesn't prioritize cooking and eating, maybe you've heard this said to you. Don't forget to eat. Well, as your pastor today, I want to talk about that reminder, not in the literal feeding your stomach sense, but in a spiritual sense. Don't forget to eat, spiritually speaking. Are you feeding your soul? Are you growing spiritually? Are you finding nourishment? I think often in this world, we cannot realize how hungry we are spiritually. We can be malnourished if we're not careful. We can forget those needs or not even be aware of the needs if it was never modeled to us. Some of us were blessed to grow up in an environment where our parents, our grandparents, our community around us modeled prayer and reading the scripture and serving others as a sign of worship and coming to a church, coming to worship. And for others of that us, that was not modeled at all, and is something kind of still that's like a foreign food that we're not sure about. And so it's okay from whatever story. You don't get to pick what family you're born into, what environment you find yourself in as a small child. But here you are today. And I thank God for each of you who've come today. And I hope that you feel more nourished, spiritually speaking, more fed, spiritually speaking, as you leave the service today than when you came. We're also going to have a lunch afterwards. I hope all of you can stay if you have time. We'll have plenty of food, I'm sure. I also like to feed people, literally. I like to have people eat. But that's one of the works, I guess, of a pastor, right? Trying to prepare a biblical message that feeds your soul. And so today's two scriptures that I've had us read and to look at, the first one out of Psalms, Tim, you can pull that up. This is a psalm where the psalmist is basically saying the words of God, the scriptures, are beautiful and pure and right, and even goes on to say, it's sweeter than honey. The word of God is like honey to me. It's something I crave, right? If you ever eat sugar or chocolate, don't you start to crave it? You know, ooh, I've just had lunch. I need a little chocolate. Am I the only one who does that? Little honey. Do you crave honey? Here the psalmist is saying the word of God is like honey. The word of God is better than gold, better than wealth. It's so precious to me. And then if you skip over to the New Testament passage in 1 Timothy, Tim, if you go to that New Testament passage, this context is Paul in the New Testament. He wrote many of the books that we now have in our Bibles in the New Testament. And Paul, as a older man, took a younger man kind of in a way, he mentored Timothy, right? Kind of helped grow him up, helped nurture him, helped feed him, if you will. And here in this, we have two books of the Bible, 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy. This is Paul writing to Timothy, giving him some advice, some instruction, about his life, about his future, about ministry. And he's trying to encourage Timothy to stay steadfast, to stay faithful. Tim, go to the next slide. I want to really point out. He talks to Timothy and says, I know you're young. Do you see that? Let no one despise you for being young, but set the believers an example in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, and in purity. And as I look out here today, there's a lot of you who are young, younger than me anyway, most of you. And I think that's just a great word of challenge, like... even if you're not, you know, old and wise and have gray hairs, you can be an example in the community by your life. And that's a great word maybe of exhortation for those of you in the room who are young. You too can have an impact and influence on your peers, on your community, by how you live, by your own conduct and love, faith, and purity. Tim, go to the next slide. He says to Timothy, devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture. Which, by the way, every Sunday when we have worship, that's a big part of our service, right? Usually I'm recruiting one of you to read. To read the Scriptures publicly. This is a big book, right? This Bible. And as Christians, we believe that this Bible is inspired by God and that the Holy Spirit mysteriously and miraculously moves through the interaction that we have with the Scriptures. And the Holy Spirit can quicken us to life as we read the Scriptures. And so You'll see throughout the New Testament signs where the reading of the scripture was really upheld in public worship. Now, public worship back at the beginning of the church in Acts maybe didn't look exactly like it does here today. And many of you who are from different cultures know worship can look all sorts of ways, right? There's all kinds of different kinds of churches and worship services. But one thing that usually a good worship service has in common is the reading of the scripture. And usually the preaching of the scripture. So it talks about exhorting. Exhort. Use your gifts of communication to preach, to teach. And then he says, don't neglect the gifts the Holy Spirit has given you and that the community has raised you up for. Let others around you see your progress and be persistent. And so I think this is just a great kind of word. If I was going to boil it down, right? If I was going to cook it down, simmer it into a good sauce for you today, I'd say, Paul saying to Timothy, don't forget to eat and be fed spiritually and keep growing. And don't forget to cook and serve others. I mean, he didn't say it exactly like that. But I think he kind of said that, didn't he? Paul saying to Timothy, don't forget to eat. Don't forget to nourish your own spiritual growth. Don't forget that the community needs that as well. So keep on cooking and serving up spiritual food for the community. And at this point, I want to transition to just say to this community of faith, I'm aware that this is my last month with you, one of my last Sundays with you. And so I don't get to cook many more potlucks, and I don't get to preach many more sermons in your midst. But what I want to say to you, I'm definitely not Paul by any stretch, but what I want to say to you is a word of encouragement and exhortation. Don't forget to eat spiritually. Don't neglect your own spiritual growth. So there's a few thoughts on that. One is the question, do you know how to eat spiritually? Do you know how to cook and eat for yourself? You know, I've talked to many adults who would say, you know, when you're talking to them in the kitchen, I would have said this of my journey. When I was a teenager, I didn't know how to cook. I was always outside playing. But as I got older and grew up and moved away from my family of origin, I had to figure out how to cook for myself and for my husband when we got married. And then I had kids, and oh my goodness, they need to eat. And so I learned a lot more about cooking as I grew up. What about that spiritually for each of you? Just, you can reflect on that, right? This isn't a pop quiz where you have to give me an answer back. Although you could give me a goofy smile if you want. Thank you for that. But yeah, do you know how to read the scriptures on your own and study them and understand them? Some passages of the Bible are easier to understand than others. So if you're new to the faith, I would say go to Mark or Luke, which is really focused on Jesus, his life, his teaching. Go to the Psalms, which are basically like prayers, where a psalmist says, I'm mad at my enemies, and he kind of vents, and then he kind of throws up his hands and says, God, help me and save me, right? And so the Psalms are very relatable, I think. If you go to Leviticus, it's a little bit harder to understand it all. The culture is far removed from the culture here in Prague of today. What do you mean it's against the law to wear a sweater with more than one kind of thread? Am I sinning if I wear a sweater with more than one kind of thread? What happens if I have a pointy beard? In Leviticus, it says I'm not supposed to have a pointy beard. So there's all kinds of things that you can go to some of the Old Testament that you have to kind of dig and do some homework and understand what's God saying and why is he saying it and what's the meaning behind it and what's the cultural understanding. And you have to dig into it. What do you mean when Jesus says, if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off? Does he mean literally cut it off? Or is Jesus getting at another principle here, right? So the scripture is a complicated book, right? And I'll just tell you, you probably all know this already. Depending on who you talk to, which Bible expert you talk to, you might get different opinions, even on the same passage. So if you ever pull up a Bible commentary, somebody who's spent their life studying one book of the Bible, and you get his writing on Isaiah, and then you get somebody else's writing on the same book, you might get some differing thoughts about that one scripture. So one thing I want to say to you about this Bible is it's a complex book. And lots of people will tell you lots of different things about the truths in the scripture. And so one thing I want to say to you as a pastor is take responsibility for your own eating. Take responsibility for your own spiritual growth with the word. Don't just take my word for it or the next pastor's word for it. You wrestle with it. You read it. What about prayer? Do you know how to pray? Do you practice praying? Or if you're frustrated that God's never speaking to you, but you're never giving God any time, it might be for more reasons that you're not hearing. What about prioritizing coming to worship? I mean, you all are here, right? So you prioritized that. There's something about being in community, right? Kind of like eating. Like, if I'm home by myself, Eli's gone, Kirk's gone, and I'm just, you know, I'm probably like opening the fridge. Oh, that needs to be eaten. Do I need a fork? Probably not. Like you just kind of scrounge. Maybe I'm the only one who's uncivilized and does that. But when you're preparing and you're going to sit down with a group of people, don't you approach it so different? You cook, you put it in a nice bowl, you put silverware out, you put a serviette, a napkin, and your cutlery, and right? You do it different, and then you eat more slowly. Right? You laugh, you're telling stories as you're eating, you enjoy it. And science will tell you that it's probably healthier to slow down and to laugh and to, right, to the way your body digests when you're physically eating is different when you're in community. And I would say, spiritually speaking, it's also that way. For those of you who've been going to the community Bible study, isn't it wonderful when you're in a group and you're all reading the scriptures together and sharing reflections? It's like the Bible comes alive as you're discussing in community. And so there's something essential about spiritual growth and community. So don't forget to eat. The other thing I want to talk about is the future for this church. I'd like to say to you, when I leave the very next week, you have a pastor here cooking up. We are in a process of a pastoral search. And we don't have the next pastor identified yet. So we need your prayers. Rob, I'm going to pick on you. Put your hand up. McCall, I'm going to pick on you. Put your hand up. Lena, put your hand up. Don's not here. You three and Don, who's traveled, are our kind of our elders, our leaders in this church. But I want to say to this wider community, after I leave, if you lean back and just wait on these three to do everything, that will be too much. The church, you, the people of God, need to pull together and all do some cooking, spiritually speaking. You need to find ways to encourage each other and be church, not just do church. Be church. Be loving and encouraging and exhorting one to another. And so I will go so far as to say the very existence of this faith community depends on what this community steps up to do or not do as you wait for your next pastor to come, right? And in some ways, it's good sometimes when the chief cook leaves, i.e. me, the pastor types. When a pastor type is leaving, it's kind of hard sometimes, or sometimes it's really exciting. You're like, I can't wait. That Nicole, she's crazy, can't wait till she's gone. But but other times it's a good reminder, right? Like sometimes it was a good reminder when mama wasn't around to cook for me. Because I had to go, what do I want spiritually? What am I going to get and cook? What am I going to prioritize? And so what I want to say to you who are here, what do you want for your own spiritual growth? And what do you have as a gift that can help others grow spiritually? And so I just want to exhort this community to pray for Lena and McCall and Rob and Don and support them. Let them know they're not alone as they're searching for the next pastor with the superintendent and the bishop. We need the community to step up in this season of transition. And as your pastor, I'll step on your toes a little and say, don't forget to eat.